Last meeting. October 2, yeah, that's right, that was that Monday meeting, wasn't it? Yeah. I'm gonna look through the meeting minutes. I didn't see anything that I would disagree with. It was a short meeting, and I imagine this one's gonna be too. Anybody see any additions or corrections? Anything at all?
You want a motion to adjourn?
Yeah. I have a motion to accept the minutes, if you would.
So moved.
Second.
All right. All in favor of accepting the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right, we got that done. Okay. Citizens to be heard. Do we have any citizens to be heard? Ain't no citizens here. Kind of like, you know, the ads where they got Chevy ads. These are real people, not actors.
Yeah.
Nice to know that actors aren't people. Anyway. Okay. No citizens to be heard. Project updates. I imagine that's the main thing we're going to be dealing with, right?
You got it.
All right, let's go.
All right. So a couple different updates on the projects we're currently working on. There were materials that were submitted to MnDOT and the FAA regarding the airport layout plan, the preferred option from the airport committee. They're going to be, it sounds like, prioritizing this and trying to get it through because, as I understand, they'd like to have it approved before the apron project so that it all sort of meshes together.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Matt, anything you want to add to that?
Were you on the email that I got, with the comments?
I don't think so.
They didn't add you to that? Okay. I've been gone for like the last 4 days, I guess, but, during that time I got comments back and on the eligibility drawings that we had sent them before. So we have to just make those changes this week and then we'll send that back to them and try them to approve what we have. And if nothing changes, then all of our other stuff is ready to go in. So if we, whatever we come up with, I guess, on the apron with the eligibility will be exactly what the preferred alternative shows for the ALP.
And for the narrative portion. One of the eligibility portions that they're looking at is the tie-downs. They wanted some specific information on number of tie-downs and how we justified that. And
those, for some reason, the number of tie-downs. Right now I just have them maximized with what is out here and what we have left. So the two options, I think one had 22 tie downs and the other one had 11, depending on whether the fuel farm remains or was moved. So,
oh, yeah.
And obviously we can, if they say, you know, there's four too many tie downs, we can condense some of them into larger tie downs. I don't know how often a B-2 aircraft tie down out here. I guess how often does a, you know, like a twin or a king air or something like that.
Tie down.
Well, exactly. So that's why I've left them all small. This the exact same size that's out here now is what they are now. And they said, well, that's a lot of tie downs. And, well, yeah, I guess, but I can put more space between them and have less. But we could get up to 22 on the existing apron if we remove the field. That's kind of where we're at. I guess it's just waiting to see what they come back with and what they'll accept. And are we still wanting to do the fuel farm move? Is that?
Yeah, that kind of gets into one of our next topics. But just to finish up on that one, once the FAA gives their blessing to it, we will bring it back one more time to the airport commission before it then goes to the city council for final approval.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've seen the preferred alternative, you know what it looks like, but we'll bring it back one more time. There's also some narrative pieces that go along with it about the airport, so we'll bring those back to you. So you can see those as well. So.
And we have. I can bring the old drawing back with whatever changes. I guess due to this eligibility stuff. So I'll bring the old one and then the new one and just show you the differences that you guys have looked at before and what the new stuff is now. But really, there aren't many changes besides this piece that was to be removed right over here for the direct access. That's on the one where we moved the fuel farm. That's about the only thing that changed, is they wanted that to be bigger. So it wasn't enough of a turn. But
so the fuel farm is going to be moved to the far end?
It would be right here. Right on the grass, right next to the hangar here.
Makes sense.
Right here, it would face that way, just this side of the building. So,
yeah. Right here.
You know, way back when you built the place, we always had this area here was going to be for a reception building.
Mm-hmm. There, I think it would be closer to Marvin's. Hangar, right? The grassy area.
So there is an option in the future if we, you know, with this and with the office and everything over there, the odds of needing a separate new AD building is low.
Isn't the septic right here?
What's that?
Isn't the septic right here?
Yes. Yep. The holding tank is right.
Yeah. We're just going to dig that up.
No, no, we're not doing that.
Porta potties up here.
It's two
big porta potties.
No, between the two septics, there's the one.
There's the space for it.
Yeah, and then we're kind of walking around out there.
So where are the TSA offices going to be?
They'll have to be in the hangar over there.
Okay. So. You got to shut that door, okay?
But I don't, you know, you can always get rehab type money for AD buildings, so if you wanted to change this around or, you know, remove that office and put something else in there or do whatever, that's always an option in the future too. But typically as FBOs grow, they kind of take over the public demand for that to where you guys would pay for it. It would be more of the FBO kind of adding facilities for customers to use, and that's kind of what we see. If you know, if that's not something that you think is what you want to do, this is a good time to speak up. But that's kind of the way that we went with what's there. Because I only see these operations growing, and they can pay for it. If they're out here 24/7. It's kind of the, you know. People can go in there, can move payment over to a different building or whatever too, but this is always still here too.
This was always seen as someday being an office for maintenance, and then we'd have a reception building right here.
That could be moved really anywhere. So. And there is still other room that you could do it later if you had, you know, in 15 years if there's a need for it, and it's something else we can look at. During the full master plan too, we can look at that again. But I just think it typically trends towards FBOs taking over that responsibility of providing that public space. So, our FBO owner is not here, but something we can talk to him about too. Because really all you're required to have is a phone and a bathroom. Pretty much is the two big things. And I don't, is there a public phone in here even? The one on the table?
Yeah.
Does anybody know how to use it? It's a cell phone saver. But yeah, so that's kind of the thought behind what we have in there now.
All right, thanks.
Did we miss anything on that?
I don't think so. Just be aware that you'll see it again one more time before it moves forward.
Is it December meeting? Is that one on the schedule for that, or was it October and November? I remember seeing two of them.
For airport committee, or?
Yeah, is there a scheduled December?
I think there's not, but if we get word from the FAA that they sort of approve everything or all the changes are made, we can always hold a special meeting too if we want to move it forward a little bit faster than what our schedule allows. So.
Yeah, and I think they're going to push for that too to try and get it in. As soon as we have concurrence on on this, I think they're going to want to see that stuff as soon as possible. So.
Mm-hmm. And that sort of leads into another item that's on the update, which is the apron, which was always intended to be phase two of our pavement project. When we had talked to the FAA earlier this summer, they had said that they did not want to put under grant the design for the apron as we had planned for construction in 18-19. But then a few months later, they gave us the thumbs up and did say they want us to do that. So that is what we are now proceeding under. One of the things that we had to make sure of was if the apron goes under grant next year, we cannot accept discretionary funding and pay back another airport. And we had payment two of two to Houston County because we had borrowed money from them before. And they have been great to work with and gave us another extension. So that was sort of checked off the list. We are working with Mead and Hunt now. They're preparing some cost estimates, which you can see on page 3 of your packet. And as Matt had mentioned, we're currently working with the FAA and MnDOT now because there are portions of the project that the FAA will not fund. And so we are working with them to determine exactly what those are. And then we will work with MnDOT to see if they will then help us fund those portions which are not FAA grant eligible. And so those are the breakouts that we're trying to work through now. You can see that in total between design for the apron, construction, fuel system relocation, and then the design for the runway and taxiway, which is intended to be phases 3 and 4, it's about $2.26 million. So that's why we are really trying to work with the FAA, because if they're indicating to us that this that next year would be the year that they would have this funding available for us. So we're really trying to work with them to make that happen, if that is in fact the case. So
the only thing we have to do is just give the approval to pursue going on with this.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about this before. We usually do these updates at every meeting, but from a staff perspective, we would appreciate if the board would, you know, we have a recommended approval here to pursue the 18-19 funding for the apron payment, fuel system relocation, design bidding construction, and runway taxiway payment design. You know, these are all things we've talked about before, but we just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. The other piece of the puzzle is, as we work through these cost breakdowns, we'll have a little over $100,000 in 18 for city match. So we're not, and we'll continue to work with the finance department to see if, you know, whatever that city match is that we're working on now, we'll continue to work with the finance department to see if it's a project we can do in 18, or if we just let the bid in 18 and then have the contractor construct it right away in 19. Because if we do have to wait for that, you know, second payment for the city funding portion till 19, it may push it back a season. But either way, whether it's fall of 18 or spring of 19, that is sort of the time frame that we're working in. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it will depend on the funding.
And so you're saying it's the city funding that's really going to be the pivotal issue?
Yes, depending on sort of how that breakout happens. And we will have not a lot, but some funds available from this year's project, because it did come in a little bit under bid, or under our budget, so we'll be able to use that money. And then sometimes there are projects at the city that were funded with capital improvement funding, and then for one reason or the other didn't occur, so we have what's called unallocated CI funds. So that's why we'll continue to work with the finance department in the first and second quarter of 2018 to see if any of those funds are available to either move forward in 18 or if we have to wait till 19.
On the fuel system relocation, is that just taking the existing equipment and moving it, not adding any additional capacity?
That's what we're going to first look at, is what MnDOT looked at a couple of the projects of just relocations, picking it up, moving it. And it was about $75,000 to $105,000 just to do that. And that is a project that does not qualify for FAA funding. So that's going to be the first step, is look to just see what it would cost from a state and local perspective to just move the existing tanks. Once we get that cost, we were planning to talk to Mike and Marvin to see if there was any interest in the possibility of doing a larger tank, and if there was, you know, how much that would cost and whether or not we could make that work or not. But for me, I really want to know what that city share is going to be, and you know, is it 200, is it 400, is it, you know, and so that's really what I got to figure out first before we, you know, have that conversation, but something to think about.
But you have talked to Marvin, and you know what his feelings are about the tank size.
It sounds like he'd like to go larger, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, 12,000 gallon tanks is what he got the quotes for.
15.
They're up 15 now.
215?
Next month it'll be 25.
Yeah.
No, there's a reason for the 15, and there's a good reason for going from 12 to 15. So, I talked to Marvin about that.
But he has quotes on that.
Mm-hmm. He's gotten bids for it. He hasn't ordered.
Yeah, he's got bids.
He's very serious about doing it.
All right, so we might have that conversation earlier than I thought we would, but that's good to know.
It'd still be
from the FBO perspective, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a really big deal. The capacity is a really limiting factor in cost.
Has everything to do with truck size.
Yep.
Yep, and not only that, but residual fuel in the tank and what we have to play with and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's saying that they charge him if he takes 500 gallons or 8,000, the delivery fee is the same. So being able to go larger, he can take an entire truckload of fuel out once.
Oh,
just typically
sure.
Maxed out about 8,500 gallons, 75 to 8,500 gallons. So he'd be able to take a full load and pay that, whatever the delivery fee happens to be, say it's $250 or whatever.
Makes sense.
Then he pays that on 8,000 instead of on 500 gallons like he's doing now. So
that would still be like a couple of months worth of fuel. I mean, the fuel wouldn't be sitting there for a year or something like that, right?
Yeah, I guess I don't know the exact turnover. Do you know turnover?
About 3 or 4 months right now.
Yeah, and the thing that you need to understand, there's a huge difference between av gas and car gas when it comes to how long it lasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, our car gas goes rotten in a matter of months, and you know, av gas, I mean, years can go by and you can start pumping it and it's fine.
Oh, I see. Hmm.
But if you guys talk to Marvin and he's willing to share those estimates, have him give me a call.
And I know Jeff was talking about having O'Day come out here,
mm-hmm.
and just take a look at the site and see what he thought. Did we ever get...
O'Day's been out here. I had O'Day out here a year and a half ago.
Okay.
So he gave me some quotes, too, to get some bigger tanks and move them around.
Okay. And did we talk to the city people about... distances, setbacks, that kind of stuff.
that's a important thing, because the fuel system requirements from when these tanks were installed to what the fire code requires now is a lot different. And so what the fire department has told us is this is sort of what in the zoning world we'd call grandfathered or non-conforming use, where if we were installing that exact same system today, it would not look like that. And the primary difference is today you're required to have a 25-foot separation, I believe, between the dispenser and the tanks. So they can't be right next to each other like they are now. And what the fire department has told us is that if we want to basically just lift up this existing system and move it, they're going to let us keep it as is, because it is currently non-conforming and that. But if we do upgrade the tanks, then everything has to come into compliance, including that dispenser to tank setback. Mm-hmm. So it's another factor we'll have to look at.
There's a setback from the buildings too that's required.
Yep, 20 feet.
That's it?
Yep.
Is there a requirement for a dike? I've seen some installations that have a dike around in case.
They're double tank.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not required then?
Yeah, you don't. There's no secondary containment requirement if you have double tanks. I don't think anybody's really putting in anything that's not anymore. These are.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why you wouldn't put them in again. Double, even if you went new, you'd put them in. Probably be cheaper than.
What kind of residual value is there on these tanks? Let's say when you decide to put in new ones. I mean, are they worth anything to
sell them? I think they were worth $25,000 as a pair.
That was a year and a half ago or so.
Yeah, from one day came out and was looking at the system, just trying to come up with some ideas. Hmm. That's not the year.
So that, I mean, salvage value. In the FAA stance on it is if we did somehow get them, and I'm not done with that yet, trying to get them to pay for it. If we do get them to move them and pay for it, it would be whatever the cost is minus the salvage value. But at the same time, I think we could just say that we're moving them and reusing these tanks, and then potentially could replace them if someone else is paying for them. If FAA pays for it, then they...
So what we do is we park them behind the hangar, and then when everything's done, then we sell them.
Yeah.
Well, there might be another use for them in the city, though, too.
That's true.
There might have a use for that capacity also.
Yeah. But just so everyone knows, it's definitely on our radar. So we'll be looking at what the options are and costs and so.
Well, thanks. I'll entertain a motion to pursue the funding here and stuff.
Moved.
All moved.
All second.
Okay, Melissa, second. Any further discussion on this? Any further discussion? Last chance for discussion. All right. Move the question here. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, same sign. None heard. Okay. Now what we got? Proposed meeting dates.
So on page 4 are a few meeting dates for the board's consideration. The one main difference that you'll see from previous years is we typically had a meeting the week before the fly-in.
Yeah.
And that was, it's hard for us as staff because we have another meeting that first week. And so we were doing, you know, actually 3 packets we were doing in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there is anything that you guys need for the fly-in, it's hard to sort of organize that with, you know, T-minus 4 days left. So I decided to see if the board would be willing to kick it into, you know, one of those last weeks in August instead.
Oh, yeah, that shouldn't be a problem.
That gives us a little bit more time, you know, between the meeting and the fly-in. So if there are things that need to be done, there's a little bit more time there. And it really helps us to stagger out our 3 commissions that we have.
Yeah. No, the problem we had before, I think, was it came after the fly-in.
Yep.
And we certainly want it before the fly-in, so, yeah, that would work.
Were these the same? So you had changed this from the... No, I must have looked on the calendar wrong. I thought I had a conflict with one of these, but I don't. I'm looking at my calendar again, and I'm like, oh, no.
I can't make March 14th, but I guess you'll survive without me.
Oh, that is the one. I can't make it either that day.
Oh,
you're back in New York?
Yeah, Syracuse.
Oh.
Also, 2 of us can't make it. You want to
still
move
have
it up a week?
Quorum.
Or back a week?
Would you guys have whatever the next Wednesday is in March? We could maybe
Must
move it
be
back
the
21st.
A week?
21st, yeah.
I would be available the 21st.
Okay.
Me too.
Why don't we just go ahead and move that one to March 21st?
Okay.
And we'll send out an email with this updated schedule too, just as a follow up.
Do we need to vote on this, or can we just...
Nope, I don't need a vote on it. And you know, as always, if we do have an item come up, someone who needs a land lease or an action on the ALP update or anything like that, we'll, you know, take a quorum roll and see if we can have a special meeting, so...
Yeah, that's right.
And that is really all that we had, so... I don't know if, Mike, you have any updates from Moorhead Aviation perspective that we should know about?
Well, the only thing is the rental plane is on board and started last week.
Nice. It's landed now, I think.
Coming in now.
He's coming in.
Yeah, with the weather being the way it is, it's still, I think, it was 10 hours last week. So.
Oh, great.
So who do people contact for that? You guys?
Us.
And then, of course, there was the issue that I stopped up and talked to you about as far as you making any progress on that?
No one has contacted me.
Oh, wait. Excuse me. We had a list of the people that we had issues with.
Oh, yeah. We're working on that. Yep.
Okay, we're on the same
page. Yep.
Okay. So you said we kind of froze up or something.
Yes. Yep.
And, of course,
yep.
And can you tell me now about how many people are waiting for public hangars right now?
A warrior.
Any idea? Just a rough idea. Yeah.
8 to 10, maybe. But Cindy's managing the list.
I wonder it is.
Oh. Yeah, they took over the waiting list now.
Oh, good. So she's got maybe 18.
Eight to ten.
Yeah.
Well, I always thought it was 5 or something. So that's pretty amazing.
And some of those are different too, because people, depending on where they're at, like if they're just starting to get they're just in flight school.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes if they know that their end game is to purchase an aircraft, sometimes they get on the list knowing that it might be long, but then if one comes up and they're right there, then we have to adjust those. So it's a little bit of a fluid thing, as depending on the circumstance when one becomes available.
It's kind of like applying for med school. You go to 6 places and then you take one. Right, so I did that too. I had my name on about 5 airports or something. You know,
mm-hmm. Okay.
The date is pretty similar to what we've had now the last couple of years, and that shouldn't be a problem at all. The only difficulty we might be dealing with there has to do with if we have a pancake feed. It might be run pretty similar to the way it was the last time, in that Dave Kragness, who normally has run that and stuff, may just ship the equipment to us, and we'll have to figure out what to do with it.
I thought you guys did a great job last year.
Yeah. What's that?
You guys did a great job flipping pancakes.
Well, yeah, but
a lot of work.
I was going to say it. I didn't have much help in there.
So should we get it? Look at getting another group or organization?
Well, I'm thinking, yeah, about getting somebody else that can help with some of the work and.
See, speaking of that,
use his equipment. Yeah.
Right. Roger spoke this morning at the MBA meeting, and at the MBA meeting was a member of the Civil Air Patrol, and he is interested in forming a relationship with the Moorhead Airport, maybe having meetings out here, and maybe they're a group that we would want to get involved with helping. Krabanoff.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I visited with him for
the,
afterward a little bit, so I'll visit with him here. And I'm somewhat familiar with that organization.
Okay.
So,
yeah, that's the Fedecu.
And they have a place now that they meet now, I think, at the Air Guard.
Yeah, they do.
Which might be more appropriate because
it's more
of a military organization than it is of a flying organization, you know, getting kids interested in military. So maybe they're better off where they are. I don't know. I'll talk to them. So.
But either way, he seems interested in being a part of the Moorhead Airport.
Well, yeah, so. He wants to learn how to fly, too. And so he's been kind of fooling around with the Jet Center, but I told him, I said, if you want to learn how to fly, you don't want to do that taking a lesson every third or fourth week.
So
by the time he left, he was getting ready to get on the phone and call you.
I think the Boy Scouts do that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that works, but I've seen them flip pancakes in a lot of places.
Boy Scouts know how to flip pancakes.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even the Key Club, I know it's early in September, but school would have just started, but it's possible to get the Key Club kids maybe out here.
Between now and the next couple of months here and stuff, we'll get things sorted out quite a bit. I will be having a direct talk with David, but he did indicate to me that he was getting kind of tired. It takes 3 days out of his time to set things up. He gets all the food ready to go and everything's in his car, and then we just take it out of the car and we've got it all there. So we'd have to think about putting some of that together ourselves, even though we're using his equipment.
So did you come out financially on it?
Well, we made money on it, and that's supposed to go to Young Eagle flights and stuff. Oh. I don't remember how much it was.
Okay.
But... yeah, we didn't lose money on it. With people just giving donations.
Yeah.
It always has worked out.
Yeah, that's what I kind
of
thought.
We don't make a lot of cheapers, you know. If we came up with $50, it's better than nothing.
But I think we've made a few hundred.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. So anyway, I'll just keep you updated as far as what happens with that. And I have another question. Did anybody... You probably have some information about the 172 that rolled off the ramp and had a damaged prop. You didn't hear that? Hmm.
Here?
Oh, 182?
Yeah. Well, 182, pardon me.
Yeah. He was going to put it in his hangar.
He turned it around. And
then had it facing south and went in to open up the door. And
didn't have the brakes set?
No. With the new ramp, it's got a slope to it. And they weren't done doing their dirt work, so it rolled into the...
Yeah, and damaged the prop.
Yeah.
Okay. So not a serious thing, but... Well, anyway. Yeah.
Did you see in the paper today, too, there's a... I don't know what type of plane it was, but a little plane ended up landing in Sabin on a road.
On 52, I think.
Yeah.
Where?
Oh, it was. It did. It got towed over here.
It did. It get towed over here. That's by a tow
truck.
Okay. I was like wondering how we were going to end up getting involved. I'm like, I'm guessing we're the closest airport.
Yeah.
So.
And the towing company hit the bridge pillar with the wing of the airplane.
Oh no.
Put a nice dent in it.
Oh no.
And the gentleman that was in the airplane. Well, first off, it was a 150. He took on ice.
Oh,
on the wings and on the wing struts, iced up the carburetor and ran out of gas. And
oh,
ended up putting it down on the road. And I guess the road, he couldn't, he's having a tough time with the trip back. He climbed out of the airplane and relieved himself out on the ramp.
So, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
so you just put some gas on it and send him down the road.
Yeah, right.
He put some gas on it and pretty much sent him down the road. He was going to go over to Fargo for the evening. And he had a radio problem. I looked at it and it was a broken radio and we didn't have one on the shelf. And figured he'd go over to Fargo and see if they had one. And he's going to get over there and he's going to find out just how expensive the Fargo Jet Center can be.
Did you notice a lot of duct tape on it all over the place? Or
like electrical tape. A lot of electrical tape.
Holding the wig on.
And this airplane is on its way to Seattle, you said?
Yep, on its way to Seattle.
Across the mountains. Over the mountains.
Oh, jeepers.
He was saying that he was flying along the highway, and he pretty much, the cars were going down the highway faster than he was.
I bet they were.
With the wind and whatnot, and that's...
IFR stands for I follow roads.
No GPS whatsoever, so he's literally flying IFR, I follow roads the whole way to Seattle.
You want to know why we have airplane accidents?
Yeah.
I-94 goes down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Follow I-94. Well, anyway, I just wanted to ask a couple that because somebody had mentioned it to me, and I thought, well, this is interesting. This could be a problem for some people if they don't realize that sloped a bit. So, anyway.
Well, you should be setting your brake.
Yeah, I know. And he should have thought about it, too, but he's so used to doing it the other way.
It's a purpose of taking it out once.
Anyway.
I have one other question, too,
yes.
If you're... with the new one, have they started digging the new one?
Yeah.
And when are they going to be working over the winter and it'll be up and ready in the spring? Or what?
I think they're for sure hoping to get the foundation done as soon as possible. And then, you know, when the building shell goes up, I think will be weather dependent. But
they're still going to pour?
I think so.
Yeah, it's stripped. It doesn't take long once they get that part done.
The new one,
one of these, just a little bit smaller than
Marvin's.
Mm-hmm.
And what is he going to be using it for? Is it personal?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, the other one, have you heard any more from him, or is he still pretty quiet?
No, he said that his bids came in a lot higher than he thought, and so he just wanted some more time to look into it a little bit further. So he told me to call him back in January, so I will do that.
So he's still kind of a maybe, even if he's been approved.
That's true.
They said,
okay.
We'll be out.
In further?
The one guy said, yeah, we'll have more.
Well, over this way further and that way
further. Can it be over the line?
Then it's
Mike. Pat Kovacs jumped me during that meeting this morning, and for EDA wanting to have actual numbers for the hangar.
What do we got left? Aviation reports, fuel report. Got that.
Bunch of fuel sales.
Fuel sales are doing good. I thought, are the numbers in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're up over the last couple of years as far as avgas sales. Jet A sales are holding pretty steady. It's not nearly as much as it was when there was a charter hangar running out of here, but it's looking pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, that's all listed on page 5 there, so. All right. Anything else for the good of the cause? Speak now or forever hold you.
At least till March.
Yeah, at least till March. Well, I'm open for a motion to adjourn.
So.
All right, we're adjourned.
All right.
Thank you all.
Thank you.